Sweetwater Mission is Atlanta's largest food pantry. It focuses on the city's undocumented workers. And it recently turned down $35,000 in funding because the offer required they serve only people who are in the country legally. Joining us now is the Director of Operations for Sweetwater Mission, Mark Zangari, and also Solveig Cunningham, Professor at the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Celeste. Thanks for having us on.
Nice to have you, and hi, Solveig.
Good morning.
Mark, how many people, well, let me put it in terms of pounds of food. How many pounds of food do you distribute?
On average, annually, through our client choice market, we are distributing 1 million pounds of food.
So I have to imagine that when you're putting out that much, any amount of funding is good. Why would you turn down this large chunk of change, $35,000?
Well, we would like to distribute the food to anybody that is hungry, whether they're documented or undocumented, and accepting money that is from a government agency sometimes puts restrictions on that.
Solveig, how is it common for restrictions or donations to something like a food bank to come with these kind of restrictions?
So the food banks and food pantries that serve as emergency supplies of food for people have different types of restrictions themselves with which they vet people who come. Some will require an ID. Others will be open to anybody who comes and is in need of food. So there's quite a bit of variation in what we see in the way these in the ways institutions operate.
Let's hear. This is a comment from a spokesperson with Alberta Food Banks in Chicago, talking about I guess how much the need has worsened.
Last year, the U.S. Congress actually cut food stamp funding by $8.7 billion.
What does that say about sort of our safety net?
It's pretty holy. We have people that get like $12 a month for food stamps. Seniors sometimes have to choose between eating and medicine.
Mark, have you seen a rise in the number of people who need assistance?
Absolutely. It has been steady and rising. And just to comment on what you just played, it is so true. When you get money through a government agency, they also look at where else are you getting food from. It's our belief that we don't mind if you're getting food from food stamps or another pantry down the road. None of us can provide enough food for the entire month. Some pantries that are local to us are only distributing on a quarterly basis. We're distributing on a monthly basis. Our feeling is if an undocumented child can get into the school system, why send them there hungry?
Solveig, what is the public good served by food banks or the governmental purpose in making sure people don't go hungry?
So the pantries are generally serving or are intended to be an emergency supply for people who might not even have access to food stamps. So there are folks who can access both, but these are places that are intended even for people who don't have access to any other sorts of food stamps or government assistance. One of the tensions that is sometimes raised by scholars in this area is that it may be that if governments increasingly rely a lot on the food pantries and sort of say, well, you know, these sources of food are out there, therefore we can cut back in other places, which is unfortunate if that happens. But there's certainly a very important source for people who don't have access to other source, including undocumented immigrants.
Mark, is your food pantry at least operating as Solveig was describing, as an emergency sort of bridge between need to need, or are people basically seeing it as a steady source of food?
Well, while our programs that stabilize families, such as food, clothing, homeless financial aid directed through the school systems, we also have programs that transform lives with life skills and work training. We currently have three achievement clubs that are at full capacity, over capacity, with 60 people, another 21 in our HOPE program. We're getting ready to launch manufacturing training course that's going to leave a six-week certified person with a wage of starting at $13 an hour. So we're not just stabilizing the families. We're getting them ready to go back out and not make this a permanent thing. So our experience when you come into Sweetwater Mission, it's not just a bunch of canned foods. It's a mini supermarket. We have a beautiful kiosk donated by Publix. We're cooking up a recipe, giving samples, taking the recipe into the market. The ingredients are there, available to the clients. There's dairy. There's fresh produce. There's meats. There's bakery. I mean, it's a wonderful experience.
Which is very different. Let's actually hear a clip. This is from the documentary Carb Loaded. And the reason why what you're saying is significant is because many parts in Atlanta are what's considered to be food deserts. Let's take a listen.
Food deserts are typically urban neighborhoods or rural towns without easy access to fresh, healthy, and affordable food. Instead of supermarkets or grocery stores, these communities are usually served by fast food or convenience stores. More than half of the population living in food deserts, or 13.5 million people, are considered low income. So it seems that for many people, low quality food is their only choice.
So with all that in mind, Mark, let me ask the question again of why turn down $35,000. Does that restriction mean that all of your food has to only be just, if you took that money, would it require you to only give any food at all to people who were American citizens?
Well, as most people know, just not even addressing that, just the documentation part of it, okay, and the paperwork that's attached to any government funding that comes in is intense. So we're serving at Sweetwater a family every 2.5 minutes. We can't be slowed down by all that paperwork. We have four people at our client intake now. Three of them speak Spanish. We have gone away from paper completely in the last couple months. So there is a paperless system. We need to move our families through the system, through the market. In order for us to provide the service the way we serve it, we cannot be bogged down with that. I mean, we don't just hand a box of donated food. You have to see it to believe it. I invite anybody to come out, sweetwatermission.org, get in touch with us. We would love to show you this state-of-the-art facility, the way things are done. It's a dignified experience. Our doors are open to anybody in need. We don't turn anybody away. If you come and you don't have your photo ID with you your first time, we give you grace. We let you into the pantry even a second time, you know. So it's a simple process. And I wish there were more organizations like Sweetwater Mission out there doing it the way we do it, instead of chasing grants and chasing money and making programs to fit.
That's Mark Zangari. He's Director of Operations for Sweetwater Mission. Solveig Cunningham is Professor at the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you, Celeste.
Thanks very much, Celeste. Have a good day.